This afternoon, we will review the message from the past Chinese New Year conference. Although it is a conference spoken in Chinese, but we will review a particular message in 1997. It is also the Chinese-speaking conference. Actually, this is the last ministry message our dear brother Witness Lee had given for us before he went to be with the Lord. The message is a title called Experience God's Organic Salvation, Echo Ringing in Christ's Life. So, this conference is not only to expound some truths in the book of Romans, but with a very particular view that our being saved in life and reigning life is for the body life. The general subject for this conference is that being saved in life to reign in life for the body life. When I first saw this title, I feel it's quite familiar, because if you notice that in the past winter training for the Gospel of God in the book of Romans, the message file, we have the similar title, but it is with the title that being saved in life and reign in life for the body life. It looks similar. But when you look at this subject, it is a little bit different. It said being saved in life to reign in life for the body life. So there's only the small word and the two, but it denotes two different kinds of meaning. If you say to be saved in life and reign in life, that means to be saved in life and reign in life denotes two different things. But if you say to be saved in life, to reign in life, that means our saving in life had a definite purpose, that is for us to reign in life. Amen. And of course, this is not only for us, but for the body life. Amen. So, Brother Lee said during that conference, he speak to us that there is not any expositors in the Christian history having used this view to read the book of Romans. But praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How wonderful we are in the Lord's recovery. Amen. We have this particular view to know God's heart desire. So, to reign in life and save in life for the body life. Since when we touch the matter of Christian salvation, we should not know it is just a kind of individual matter. Some Christians appreciate Romans chapter 3 very much, which talk about the matter of judicial salvation. And some also touch chapter 5 very much because it has an organic aspect of the God's complete salvation. But they forgot. In the book of Romans, we don't just have the chapter 3 and chapter 5. We also have chapter 12 and chapter 16. Amen. What is it? That is the body life, the church life. So praise the Lord. This afternoon, we will strengthen this burden from this particular views that will be saving life and reigning life for the body life. This afternoon, I will review message 1 and message 2, which with the emphasis of being saved in life, and tonight we will emphasis on the point of being of reigning in life. And tomorrow we will give two particular persons from the Old Testament. One person is specially as the pattern of being saved in life, which is Jacob, and another person is a particular person is particular examples of being reigning in life, which is the Joseph. So this is our time distribution for this conference. So, praise the Lord. Amen. Now we come to message 1. Could we read the general subject and the title together? Amen. Being saved in life to reign in life for the body. The divine life, the way to fill God's purpose and carry out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Here we see the way to fulfill God's purpose and His economy is by the divine life. You know that this matter of life has been neglected ignorant, misapplied, or misunderstood by many Christians. But praise the Lord, what is the Lord's recovery? The Lord's recovery is a recovery by life. Even the Lord's recovery is to recover life itself. Amen. Today, so many Christians, they do not see life. But in the Lord's recovery, we emphasize on life. Amen. We enjoy life. Amen. We experience life. Amen. Eventually, we express life. Amen. Amen. So, the Lord's recovery is a recovery of life. But now we come to another question. Then, what is life? It's easy to talk about life, but what is life? Amen. In Rome number 1 or message 1, it tells us, according to the divine and eternal nature of life of God, God's life is a unique life. Only the life of God can be counted as life. Saints, do you appreciate this kind of expression? In the universe, only God's life can be counted as life.
Amen.
So you may wonder, then isn't that I'm also life? If I just a piece of wood, or a stone, how can I drive the car to the meeting hall? How can I sit here? How can I sing a hymn? Isn't that I'm also life? Well, it's really a good question. But I'll tell you, we are life, just temporary. 1,000 years ago, we are not life, right? After 1,000 years, we are also not life. Our life is mortal. Our life is temporal. Our life is corruptible. But praise the Lord, in this universe, there's the one, he said, he is. Amen. He was. And he is coming. Amen. His life is the eternal life. Praise the Lord. So, in this sense, we can say that in this universe, only God is life. We are life just for temporary. We are life just in a short time. But praise the Lord, there is an eternal life, immortal life, incorruptible life in this universe, which is God himself.
Amen.
So, in John 1:4, he said, in him was life. Where is the life? In him was life. We will touch this matter later. So, praise the Lord, in this universe, only God's life is life. And actually, you know that in the Bible, they use 3 different Greek words to denote life. One is zoe. The other is psuche, psychological life. Bio means biological life. But there's another word denote for the divine life, which is zoe. We are not saved in the biological life. We are not saved in the psychological life. We are saved in the divine life.
Amen.
So praise the Lord for the divine life. Amen. And A, point A, under Rome numeral 1 say, the divine life may be considered the first and the basic attribute of God. The first, the primary, the basic element, attribute of God. If you being in the church life for a period of time, you know that God had many attributes, right? Like God is what? Love. God is God of righteous. God is love, God of patient. God is faithful. God is holy. But do you realize that among all these kind of attributes, the first and the basic attribute of God is that God is life. Saints, do you appreciate that our God is a God of life?
Amen.
What if God is not life? I tell you, if God is not life, the very God whom we believe will be living in a very remote, cold, apathetic relationship with us. But praise the Lord, since God is alive,
Amen.
As the hymn said, Christ alive. Our relationship, since God is life, our relationship with the very God become very intimate, become very subjective, become very enjoyable. We can experience this life. We can enjoy this life. Even we can be saved in life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And don't forget, we are saved where? In life. I tell you, we are not saving any kind of Christian activities. We are not saving any kind of Christian work. Where do we get saved? We are saved in life. Maybe some Christians, they are very, they have very attractive music. They have all kind of activities. They have dramas. They have all kind of Christian works. But I tell you, there's only one thing in this universe that we can be saved. That is God's life. So in the lost recovery, we pay attention to life. We emphasize life. We enjoy life. Even we are saved in this life. Amen. And Rome numeral 2 and 3, I don't want to get into the details, but whenever we touch the matter of life, we always use the figure of the life of the river and tree of life to as an illustration of what is life. Amen. My point is on Rome numeral 4. Amen. Could you read this point together? Message 1, Rome numeral 4. Amen. Amen. Do you pay attention to this word called the feeling, the sense, the conscience of life? Recently, I treasure this word, feeling, very much. As we have mentioned, we always say that in the church life, we must pay attention to life, right? We must walk according to life, right? We have to even amend our life, right? But, you know, somehow, the life is something abstract. Life is something not so tangible. Life is something mysterious. Then, I will ask you, then, how do you know whether you have life or not? How do you know? You say, I'm in life. I say, you are not in life. How do you know? What is the criteria? What is the standard that we are a man of life or not? I tell you, I treasure this word very much, feeling. The feeling of life. How do you prove that? I tell you, we just read Ephesians 4. He said the Gentiles, they have been alienated from the life of God. Right? Then what happened? They are past feeling, which means they don't have feeling. So, you do not have the God's life means you do not have feeling. And vice versa. If you have life, what does it mean? That means you are full of feeling, the feeling of life. I tell you, in the church life, almost all our Christian activities, all our Christian practice are largely depend on whether you had a feeling or not. Like some Christians, some brothers, they like to read the Bible. Why? Because when they read the Bible, they're full of the feeling. They feel that this verse is God speaking to him. And that verse is also God speaking to him. Oh, he enjoyed this verse very much. He enjoyed that portion very much. Why? Because when you read the Bible, he's full of the feeling. But also, there are some Christians, they don't like to read the Bible. You ask him why, they will tell you, because I don't have a feeling. The same, Peter, John, James, the same. The Bible is only a black and five and bright letters. It's no difference to them because they don't have feeling. That means they do not stay in life to read the Bible. And why some saints, they die to pray to the Lord? Because when they kneel down before the Lord and pray, they're full of feeling. They feel that the Lord speaking to him in this matter, the Lord touch him in that matter, the Lord give him a shining on this particular matter, the Lord give him some enjoyment on that particular matter, because they feel full of feeling when they pray. So, they like to pray. But you will ask somebody, why don't you like to pray to the Lord? He may ask you, because I don't have the feeling. I feel just waste time. I don't know, I just keep talking nonsense to myself. They don't have the feeling. So, you can apply this method for so many things. Why somebody like to come to the meeting? Because they are full of the feeling. Saints, don't you like to come to the church meetings? Why you would like to come to the church meeting? Because people are full of fearing. If you feel that this sense, the Lord through this sense speak to you, the Lord through that sense speak to you, right? But how come somebody do not like to attend the meeting? Because they had a fearing. So whether you had a fearing or you do not have a fearing, it largely depends on whether you have life or not. If you are a man of life, if you are full of life, if you are live in God's life, then you will be full of the fearing. Of course. In the footnote, the recovery version of this verse, it says that this fearing is largely referred to the fearing of our conscience. How do we know that we are a man of life now? It's very simple. Whether your conscience is sharp, is keen, is sensible or not. If you speak something, some word against the other brothers, and you have a fearing, that means you are a man of life. But sometimes you speak something against the saints and you don't have a fearing, that means you don't have life. So, praise the Lord, in the church life, we must be pay attention to life, and we must, a man of life, we must be full of life. Amen. Full of life means full of fearing. Amen. Of course, there are also some kind of fearing, which may not be the right fearing, right? Like in Romans 13:8 says that, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. Sometimes we have a fearing that everybody owes me. Oh, this brother owes me because he do not pray for me. Oh, that saint owes me because he suddenly invited me to his house for a meal, right? This is also a kind of fearing, but this is the wrong fearing. This is not a fearing of life. But praise the Lord, if you're in the church life, you feel you owe everybody. Oh, you owe this saint because you seldom pray for him. Oh, you don't owe that saint because you seldom care for him. Oh, you owe the new one because you seldom invite him to your house to have a meal. That means you had a fearing of life. So praise the Lord. May the Lord save us from ourselves, from our self-fearing. But we will become the man full of the fearing of life. Amen. Actually, the last time when we co-workers, full-timers gathered together, some sense mentioned to me that, somebody, they had a diabetes. And what happened? When they had the diabetes, their leg will lose their fearing. Sometimes even they are breathing, but they don't have fearing. It's very dangerous. So, once one of your members loses proper function in life, they will lose fearing. But on the contrary, if we are the proper member, we are a member in life, then we will full of the proper fearing. Amen. I think this point is very important to us. Amen. Okay, amen. So, point number 5 said, we need to be victorious over the attack of the death upon the church and build the body of Christ in the resurrection life of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. I won't linger on this point too much. So, we come to the main burden for this conference, which is message 2, being saved in life for the body life. Amen. Oh, being saved in life for the body life. Amen. Amen. As we have read previously in Romans 5:10, it said that we who are being enemy of God, but we are being reconciled through the death of his son, and he said, much more, we will be saved in his life. Hallelujah. Do you treasure for this word much more? Amen. Much more. Amen. What is Lord's recovery? The Lord's recovery is the much more recovery. Amen. But you may wonder. Actually, in Romans chapter 3, it has said that we have been saved. We have been reconciled. We've been justified by God. While we're still in chapter 5, he said, much more, we were saved. We will be saved. It's the future tense. It's not the present tense. Why did he say so? Isn't that We have been saved already. Isn't that we have been saved from the wrath of God? Isn't that we have saved from the eternal judgment? Isn't that we have been saved from the lake of fire? Yes, it is. But besides from that, saints, you will realize there are so many negative items inside us that need to be saved. Do we need to be saved from our individualism? Yes. Do we need to be saved from our worldly tendencies? Yes. Do we need to be saved from our tempers? Yes. Do we need to be saved from our angers? Yes. There are so many items we need to be saved. So here he says that much more we will be saved in his life. Amen. Since the Lord's recovery is a much more recovery. Amen. So, in the last study of the book of Romans, Brother Lee tells us that actually there are tens of thousands of items we need to be saved. But Paul only mentioned a few things. Actually, he only mentioned 7 items that we need to be saved. So we read the point, new the Rome number 5. We read together. Amen. Being saved. The present age of the world, our natural being, individualism, our self-diagnosis, and our body of humiliation. Amen. Oh, here's it lists several items that we need to be saved. We need to be saved from the law of sin, the present age of the world, our natural being, individualism, self-likeness, and the body of humiliation. There are several items we need to be saved from. Of course, we don't have the time to touch all these matters, but we have to memorize the first item we need to be saved is from the law of sin. Here, it doesn't talk about we need to be saved from sin, but it says that we need to be saved from the law of sin. Do you know what the difference between sin and the law of sin? Law of sin means it's kind of the reason why we would commit sins is because that there is a kind of a natural law, scientific law, that will cause us to sin. For example, if you threw the apple to the air, you don't need to pray that apple, please fall on the ground again. Spontaneously, you will fall to the ground again, right? Actually, every kind of life has its own law. If a small duck just come to the shell of the egg and it put it in the water, what will happen? You begin to swim, right? And you raise up the bird, you raise up a cat. After it grows up, it saw the mouse. And what will happen? You will go to catch the mouse. You don't need to teach a cat. Oh, my cat, pretty cat. There's a mouse, go and catch him. You don't need to teach him because there is a law inside it that will cause him to catch the mouse. In the same way, there's also a lie within us. The Bible says that it is the law of sin inside us that will cause us to sin. So praise the Lord. This is the first item we need to be saved from. We now need to set from our offenses, our wrongdoings, our shortcomings. Actually, we need to be saved from the law of sin. Then we have what? We have the present age of the world. We have the word called the present age of the world. You know, many Christians, they may have a feeling concerning sin, but actually we don't have much feeling concerning the world. You know, the world is more subtle than sin. If a Christian sin, he may have a feeling, but he may be occupied by the world, he may not have much feeling. Do you know what is word? Since we have the word, I tell you, the world is something that occupies you, that consumes your time, that consumes your energy, so that you don't have the time to enjoy God, to come to the church life. That is the world. And in some sense, world may not be something so bad. Actually, the world may be the world is looking very good to us, very attractive to us. You know that some people, they pay attention to their physical exercise. Physical exercise is very good. But if the physical exercise make you do not have the time to enjoy the Lord, the physical exercise even become your world. To eat something balanced, nutritious, is good. But sometimes you pay too much attention to what you eat that you don't have the capacity to meet with the saints, that become your world. You know that about 10 years ago, I went to a small village in Thailand. Do you know what kind of food did they treat me? I tell you, it's ants, A-N-T. The saint said, wow, this is the best protein we have in this village. Brother, let's eat. Norm, what should you do?
No.
No?
I'm not eating that.
And there's one time I went to Russia, also in a small village. They give me the raw pork fat. This thick. Fight. Said, well, brothers, this is the most nutritious food we had here. Please eat. Do you want to eat? No, what do you say?
No.
Oh, we need to be transformed. This is the best food they got in this small village. So, you know that everything, our education, our career, our health, our grandchildren, you know, for the grandfather, sometimes their grandchildren are their world. Marty, right? So, praise the Lord. This all the items we need to be saved from. And you know, in the eyes of God, the world is even more tasteful in the eyes of God. You know, in the book of James, he said that, do you know that he who had a friendship with the world is the enemy of God? He do not say that he who loves Satan is the enemy of God. No, he said he who loves the world, he who had a friendship with the world, is the enemy of God. You know, the world stands direct opposite to God. In our concept, we said, oh, Satan or devil is stand direct opposite to God. But the Bible in James 4:4 tells us that the one who stands opposite to God is the world. Sin can only contaminate you. Like you go to some dirty place, you got some dirt. But if you wash, you apply the blood of Jesus, you will get clean, right? But you know the world is not only contaminate you, but the world also occupy you, make you do not have the time, make you do not have the energy, make you do not have the appetite for the gospel. So in God's eye, the world is even more subtle, even more hateful than the world, than sin. Also, this is the second item we need to be saved from. And what is the third item? The third item is our natural being. Our natural being. It's very interesting that before I come to the church life, I never know there is such a thing called our natural being. Actually, sometimes we are rather appreciate or admire our natural being. Our natural being refers to our natural wisdom, natural strength, natural capacities, our quickness, our skill. That all refer to our natural being. Oh, you may say that natural being is not something so bad. You know, after man fall, man become the old man. And this old man has all kinds of expression, like self. Flesh, something called flesh. If the person is very angered, easy to be angered, to lose his temper, we say, wow, this one is totally living his flesh. He's a fresh person. This one is so bad. He totally living his flesh, right? And if the person is talkative, he is easy to express his opinion. He has opinion for this. He has opinion on that. He has opinion for the church life. He has opinion to the brothers. Then we will say this one lives in itself. But what if a brother is neither talkative, he's a quiet person, and he is not easy to lose his temper. He do not have flesh. You just know he is very capable. But you realize he do not pass through cross. What is it? I tell you, this is called his natural being. And maybe sometimes, even in the church life, if we do not learn the lesson of the cross, maybe we will very appreciate this kind of person. For example, if a brother has a creative mind, sharp mind, a good memory, he can memorize all the verses, all the truths, then we may say that, wow, this brother is so good, so useful to the Lord. Oh, he may become the great teacher in the church life, right? And the brother, he's arrogant. He's good to speak. Then we say, wow, this brother may be very useful to the Lord. He may become a great preacher. He can preach the gospel to save everyone. But I tell you, if this kind of person, this kind of capacity, this kind of ability do not pass through cross, I tell you, maybe he can express his capacity a little bit, but I tell you, it will never build up the church. You want to build up the church, your natural being, your natural capacity, your ability, your skin, your skill, your cleverness, all had to pass through cross in order to build up the church. I think in the Bible, there's a particular person. His name is Peter. He is a very good example for us to know what is our natural being. Recently, I read the book of Matthew with several saints. We read in the mountain of Transfiguration. Peter, he saw the Moses and Elijah conversate with Lord Jesus. And immediately say, wow, Lord Jesus, how good it is. It's so good for us to be here. I will build three tents for you. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, right? You don't love a Peter. If you show Moses appear to you, you will do the same thing. Right? Because Moses is the historic hero for Jews. Wow, Moses, I read from the Old Testament for you so many times, but I never see you face to face to you. So you will see Moses. So that, wow, Moses, good to see you here. Praise the Lord. I build a tent for you, right? The same with Elijah. But what does the Bible tell us? What did he say? The Bible said that a crowd overshadowed him and said, this is my son, my beloved, in whom I have found my delight. And then, what do you say? Hear him! Did Peter learn the lessons? If you look at the recovery version, the outline, in the last part of chapter 7, it said that is, what's the word? It's called the application of the revelation. You not only have a revelation, but you have to pass through the test. Just like in a class. The professor may give us some principles of mathematics or physics, right? But how do I know that you don't learn the principle or not? There's a test to know whether you really know the lesson or not. So, when they come from the mountain of the Transfiguration, there's a one who correct the temple text and said to Peter, is not your teacher pay the temple tax or not? What did people say? He said, yes. What should he say? He should say yes or no. Max, what will you say? Peter should say yes or no.
What should he say?
Yes. What will he say in order that he can pass the examination, the midterm examination? What should we say?
Amen.
Oh, okay. I tell you the answer. No, don't bother you. I tell you, he should turn to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, what will you say? Because in the mountain of the transfiguration, the voice said to him what? He said, hear him. So, when the man who corrected the temple text come to him, he should hear him. He should neither say yes, no, no. But he should turn to the Lord Jesus and ask him, Lord Jesus, what you will say? Should we pay the temple tax or not? So, from that time on, Peter failed the tax. So, this is what we call the natural man in the Bible. So, there are also so many items in the Bible. We cannot say it one by one. So, what could we do? Since we have so many negative items inside us, what should we do? Praise the Lord, we have point five. Amen. Let's read, point six. Let's read together. Amen. The way. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have the way. By calling upon the name of the Lord. You know that when Paul talked about so many negative items, in chapter 13 he said that you do not need to ascend it to heaven to bring Christ down. You don't need to descend it to the abyss to bring Christ up. He said this world is near you. Near you to what extent? In your mouth and in your heart. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, what will happen? You shall be saved. Amen. So, saints, whenever we have this kind of negative items in us, praise the Lord, there is a way for us to save from all these negative items by calling the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's call upon the name of the Lord three times. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We shall be saved. Amen. Now we come to point numerous 8. It said, we need to be saved in life from death, which includes all manner of negative things. Amen. Here it says, all manner of negative sins. Amen. We indeed have touched some negative items inside us. But since you realize all these negative items are a kind of form of death, your individualism is not necessarily only a problem with your natural disposition. But actually, this is a matter, this is a kind of a form of death. Our sinful nature, our individualism, our worldly tendencies, our humiliation bodies are all a kind of form of death. So, this afternoon we are talking about a matter called death. Now, death is something mysterious. But when you read the Bible, you will find out there are two aspects of death. One is in the future and objective. But one is present and very subjective. When you talk about this matter of death, we always think that death is something in the future, happening in the future, right? Like in the Bible, there's called the second death, right? In the judgment seat, all the dead will be raised up and receive the judgment from God, and some will have the second death. So in our concept, that is something happen in the future. That is something very far away from us. But when you read the Bible, especially in the book of Romans, you will find that there's also some subjective aspect of death. They will reign over us. They kill us. They deceive us. Even eventually, Paul, in the book of Romans, chapter 7, he said, "Wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from the body of this death?" So we can see that death in the Bible is not something very far away, very objective to us. That is something present. That is something subjective. That will operate among us. That will kill us. That will deceive us. Oh, eventually we become the body of this death. So that is something unusual. So what is the death according to the definition? Could you read the point capital A under Rome numeral 8? There's a very good definition here. Amen. Let's read together. Amen. Death is a shortage. Amen. Amen. Oh, saints, do you appreciate this definition? I tell you, I appreciate this definition very much. That is very subjective. What is death? That means that you're supposed to do something according to the standard of God, according to the requirement of God, but you cannot fulfill. Such as, you're supposed to get up early, but you cannot. What's that? That is not only the matter of character, that's a matter about death. You're supposed to read the Bible every day, but you cannot. That may not be necessary that you are sloppy, or you don't have a good character. That's a matter, a form of death. You shall pray to the Lord. You shall rejoice always. You shall love one another. But you cannot. Why? Because there is something called death among us. Even in Romans 13, he said, "We shall rejoice with those who rejoice. We shall weep with those who weep." Right? But something we cannot. We see something, somebody is very happy. We cannot rejoice with them, but we cherish them. How come they are so happy? I'm not so happy. And sometimes you see that somebody has some misfortune that happened to him, and he is weak, but we cannot sympathize them. Why? Why? Why we cannot meet the standard of God, according the requirement of God, according to his standard? Because there is something called death inside us. Today, we need to be saved, not just only the eternal punishment, eternal perdition, but we need to be saved from all kinds of these negative items day by day. Amen. So what should we do? Praise the Lord. Be saved. The life that we have received from God through Christ is a resurrection life. Hallelujah. Since we not only have the death inside us, but praise the Lord, when we receive the Lord, we also receive the resurrection life. Death is the most powerful confining power in this universe. Everybody went to death, and nobody passed through death. That is a one-way traffic. Everybody went through death, but nobody passed through from death. But praise the Lord, there's a one. Amen. Hallelujah! Since there is a one, he said, "I am the life, and I am the resurrection." Death is powerful, but resurrection is even powerful than death. Death is the most powerful confining power in this universe. But praise the Lord, there's one who passed through death. Today, praise the Lord, we have the resurrection life. So whenever we live this resurrection life, we can overcome death. You don't need to be struggle. You need to be put some effort. You just need to turn to life. Suppose you come to this meeting hall at night, and there's darkness. There's no light. What should you do? Very simple. You just need to turn on the switch. When the light is come, the darkness has been expelled. Amen. In the same way, whenever we feel death, we sense there is death, praise the Lord, we just need to turn to Him. Amen. And tell him, Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I depend on you. Then the death will be expelled.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I feel this point is quite good, quite enlightening. Amen. And also, we come to a point, numeral 9, Rome numeral 9. He said, we need to be saved from the independence and individualism for the natural life, for the body life. I tell you, this is also a very good point in this conference. Amen. Here, especially touch the matter called individualism, independence. You know, this matter of individualism or independence is a great matter that damages the church life. But sometimes, we may feel that a certain sense act like individualistic. Maybe that is natural constitution. We just like to be alone. We just like to do everything by himself. We do not like to coordinate with some sense. In a sense, it is right. But in another sense, this is a sign that he is short of life. The proof of this matter is by Ezekiel 37. You know the prophet Ezekiel, in the vision, he saw there are so many dry bones in the valley. They were detached. They are separate. They are independent. So, the Lord asked the prophet Ezekiel to prophesy over this bone. Then the breath of life comes in this bone. And the bones knit together. And light comes in. And they become the great army of Jehovah. So what does that mean? Whenever there is no life, there will be the separate. There will be individualistic. There will be detached. But praise the Lord, whenever there is life, they will become the great army of Jehovah. Saints, if you have life, this is the burden for this conference. This life was spontaneously brought into the church life, built out to be connected with other Christians. It is impossible for Christians to say that, I enjoy the Bible very much, I enjoy the praying to the Lord very much in my house, but I don't want to go to the meeting. It is impossible. Because whenever there's life, whenever there's a breath of life, whenever there's a supply of life, all the bones will knit together and become one body of Christ. Amen. So, separation, detached, individualistic, is a sign that we don't have life. But praise the Lord, whenever we have life, we enjoy life. We experience life. We receive the abundant supply of life. Praise the Lord, automatically, we have become the body of Christ. Amen. So, praise the Lord. Today, if we have so many problems, we don't need to bring our sinful nature. We don't need to bring our worldly tendency. We just need to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm short of life. Oh, how much I need life. Oh, how much I need to be saved in life. Amen. You know the in the four Gospels, in John 1:4, it said, in him was life. Life is not something only in the air. Life has a container. Do you know what is the container of life? In the four Gospels, the container of life is the Lord Jesus. In the Lord Jesus' time, you want to find life. You want to touch life. You only need to come to the Lord Jesus. When you meet Lord Jesus, you meet life. You follow Lord Jesus, you follow life. You enjoy his presence, you enjoy life. But praise the Lord. Today, the Lord Jesus has went through all the process. He passed through death and resurrection. Now, today, the Lord Jesus is an enlarged Christ. So, in the year 2010, you want to find life. Where will you go? On one hand, praise the Lord, you can come to the Lord Jesus himself. But on one hand, you can come to the church life. Because the body of Christ, the church life, is a container of life. So sometimes you may experience that before you come to the meeting, you feel so dry, you feel so sad, you feel so dark. But praise the Lord, you come to the church life. You meet with the saint. Oh, you have some greeting with the saint. And spontaneously, what happens? Life comes in. Amen. Oh, you feel the light surprise. Amen. When you come to the church life, when you meet with so many saints, hallelujah, spontaneously, life comes in. So today, if you want to find life, you want to enjoy life, you want to receive life, you want to experience life, saints, let's come to the church life. Let's come to the body life. Then you will enjoy life. You will experience life. Life will saturate you. Amen. So, praise the Lord. Actually, this message was being shared by Brother James during the conference. Amen. I enjoyed his sharing very much. He said that before Brother Lee went to be with the Lord, he said that he has a very famous word called the New Jerusalem is a totality of the divine life. Then, have you heard this word before? I speak again. The New Jerusalem is a totality of the divine life. Actually, in the beginning, we don't know what does it mean, why we say the totality is a New Jerusalem is a totality of the divine life. Well, when you experience the message, you will realize all the life we experience, all the life we enjoy, all the life we are expressed in the church life will be consummated in the New Jerusalem, because New Jerusalem is a confirmation of the one new man, or the bride of Christ, or the body of Christ. So, the life we enjoy here in the church life, the life we experience here in the church life, will ultimately consummated in the New Jerusalem. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So good. Amen. So, let's read Rome numeral 10 together. Amen. As a result of being saved in life, we are enabled to live. Self-goal and divisiveness. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. The more we are saved in life, we will save from our self-view, self-goal, and our individualism. Amen. You know, it's very interesting that the Lord brought all kinds of people to the church life. Like here in Chicago, we have four languages. We have Chinese-speaking saints, English-speaking saints, Korean-speaking saints, Spanish-speaking saints. We had brothers with a high education, the professor in universities. We also had some brothers do the laboring work, right? We have come all kinds of social status, economic status, education background, cultural backgrounds. The Lord brought all kinds of people in the church life. Sometimes, maybe it will cause trouble, right? When we do not, when we have a self-goal, a self-view, a self-interest, we cannot be built up. But praise the Lord, whenever we experience our being saved in life, amen, praise the Lord, we then become one body of Christ. We can have a proper church life here in Chicago, everywhere on the earth. So, he said, different views and opinions produce different goals, and these different goals hinder the church life from being built up. Being saved from our view and the goal, we are saved from divisiveness, and thus are able to practice the body life in the church life. Amen. So eventually, in the book of Romans, Paul talked about the body life or the church life. Amen. After we are being reconciled with God, being regenerated by His life, we are being sanctified, we are being transformed, we are being conformed, and we are being glorified. Then, in chapter 12, then we can have a proper church life. Amen. Saints, I think this is very practical. We are not just expounding some truths in the book of Romans, but really, if we want to have a genuine church life, joining body life, the answer is that we need to be safe in life.
Amen.
So praise the Lord. We have 15 minutes left. If there's some sense, give some testimony. We have 15 minutes left for you to give some testimony.